Corner Talk family, what is going on? It is so good to have you guys back for another episode. I'm excited to have the guest that we have today. It's an honor to know him. I've actually known him since I was a little boy. This guy not only has mentored me and pastored me, but has had moments where he just likes to pick and get me. But I'm so honored and excited to announce that we have Pastor Rick Mitchell with us on the podcast today. So.
Well, I don't know who you were talking about whenever you said likes to pick at you. That's never been me.
Yeah, and you're so, right.
No, I'm kidding.
You're an angel.
Yes, I am an angel sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. So, oh man, Hunter, thank you for inviting me. What an honor to be here. I have known you since you were little, and man, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
To see how God has used you and how you've grown, not just in stature, but in your faith, in the spirit, and what God is doing in your life right now. So amazing. And just getting to stand back and watch from a distance, man, it's so cool. And so thank you for inviting me today. I'm really honored to be here.
Yeah.
Man, just thank you.
I think it's crazy. So most people don't know this, but TWC, so Pastor Rick's actually, and I'll let him explain here in a little bit, but he's a campus pastor at Church on the Rock here in Lubbock, and TWC and Church on the Rock go way back, honestly. And that's the cool thing, like churches who are not in competition, right? We're all in pursuit of the same goal.
Yeah.
And in most ways, we tell people we're like sister churches and all that. But
yeah.
Going to Roaring Springs Church Camp, you saw me at that age. So life's kind of made a full circle. And now you're fixing to get to watch me get married and all the things. So that's crazy.
Yeah. And your fiance's name's Grace.
Grace.
Correct?
Yeah.
Grace, I need to talk to you. Okay. When you get to Lubbock, please look me up. And if Hunter won't give you my number, someone else on this staff will. Okay. So, there I go picking again. I'm sorry.
So everything on me.
Yeah. It's crazy. I've known you since kids camp, since you were at kids camp. And so, it's crazy.
That's insane. So before we get into the podcast, I know we shared just a brief little snippet of how we know each other, but who is Rick Mitchell? What are you doing with your life? What's God doing? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, my name's Rick Mitchell. I got a wife named Tori. I was in Kenya just a few weeks ago, and anytime you're in Africa, the two times I've been there anyway, they introduce us. This is Pastor Rick. He is the husband of one wife. And so just for the record, I am the husband of one wife. Tori, we've been married 35 years.
Crazy.
We've been in ministry 35 years. Hunter, I don't recommend you do this, but we got married on a Saturday and did our first youth service the next Wednesday. Okay. So, I've been doing ministry 35 years. We have two children. Our son, Samuel, is 27, lives in Austin. Our daughter, Cooper, and her husband, Cutter, they live in, Carbondale, Illinois. Cooper is in school getting her PhD. And so they're doing great. Been at Church on the Rock, been on staff like 13 years, I think. I don't remember all the years. Time flies when you're having fun, they say. I do oversee our North Campus, but I also oversee Pursue Missions, which is the missions arm of Church on the Rock. And so life is busy. Life is good. Hopefully, we're making an impact for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing God do great things. And so it's exciting.
Well, as long as I've known you, missions has always been your heart.
Yeah.
You're always traveling. So what has been your favorite mission trip, your favorite place that you've ever been
to? Well, I say this, that if I never got to go anywhere else but Haiti, I'd be really content.
Yeah.
I love Haiti. It's one of the hardest places in the world. A lot of poverty, but it just is in our heart, and we love Haiti. This year, I've been to Dominican Republic, I've been to Poland, I've been to Kenya, have a trip to Nicaragua coming up. And so, but man, I just love everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, there's not a place I've ever been that I'm like, I don't want to go back there.
Sure.
I'll go back anywhere. And so I just love missions. I love, you know, if Jesus died for the whole world, that means he loves the whole world. So why shouldn't I?
Come on.
And so I just want to see God's word and God's love and his grace spread around the world. And so it's an honor to get to travel so much and just see God, what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so easy to think that the gospel is limited to only the United States. I think sometimes we get so boxed in, and it's like, no, there's a whole world outside of here that they need to experience Jesus,
right.
You know? And I think the one thing that we can take from other countries and other parts of the world, and you've probably got to see it a whole lot. I think one of the things that some of these countries have on the United States is for us, we're not always having to activate our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're sick, you have a Walmart up the road, you can go get medicine.
Right.
Or if you need something, you can go to this store, you can go, you have everything that you need right here. And so I think for us, it's sometimes a challenge to have to activate our faith because we have everything that we need versus some of these countries where they don't have medicine right around the corner. They don't have hospitals. They don't have anything like that. And your only choice is to really have faith and to believe and to trust God.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe like the Lord is moving. And that's what I'm saying. Like the gospel is not a United States gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This is a worldly gospel that anyone and everyone needs to be open to receiving.
Yeah.
So,
you know, in James 5, he said that if there's any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church.
Yep.
Let them be anointed with oil. But sometimes we call the doctor first before, and there's nothing wrong with doctors. So I believe in doctors, but sometimes we don't even call the elders. Sometimes we never get anointed with oil. We just let the doctors take care of everything. And I think, like you said, we don't have to activate our faith because we have other options. In some of these other countries, there are no options. Either you get healed or you die.
Yep.
Or you stay sick.
Right.
And so, and I think when you step into these other cultures and these other countries, what it does, it challenges your faith because you maybe have never had to operate in that living in America.
Right.
And so, there are times that we travel. We just did a pastor's conference in Kenya, and it was, I don't even have words to describe what happened. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was a pastor there in his 70s from the Congo. He rode on a bus 4 days to get to the conference.
Oh my gosh.
In his 70s. Now, roads in Africa, Kenya, from the Congo to Kenya, they're not like driving around the loop here, right? And so, and then he had to travel 4 days back.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there preaching, and after I'm done, he asked me to pray for him. And I'm like, who am I to pray for you? I want you to pray for me. I need the faith you have.
Right.
I didn't feel like, I mean, I had something to offer. I get that, but there's something in him that I need too.
Yeah.
And sometimes we go thinking we've got the anointing or we've got this that we can impart. But the truth is there's so much more faith there than this right here.
Well, you even look at the desperation level that he had, that 4 days to go and 4 days, that's 8 days trip for a conference. And, you know, a couple weeks ago we had this massive move on a Sunday at TWC. We brought Prophet Charlie Shamp in and it was great. And we saw some healings break out. And me and my dad were on the platform watching all of this happen. My dad, he grabbed me and put his arm around me and he said, don't you ever forget the sacrifice it takes to see services like this.
Yeah.
But the other way that I heard it is we should never grow to a point where it's so normal that we no longer have the awe factor. Mm-hmm. That's like, whoa, look at this move of God. In other words, we got to see a flow of the Spirit. We got to see the oil in action. And it's one of those that I don't ever want to grow to a spot so comfortable.
Yeah.
Or so, like I know this place so well that at that point I no longer have the fear of the Lord. When you get so comfortable and so good and stagnant with where you're at, that's when you know you've lost the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That oil, because I truly believe that God's anointing is just his blessing on our gifting. Like there's a whole lot of gifted people I know that aren't anointed.
Right.
You know, gifted to speak, but there's no anointing behind it. And I started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what does this look like? Like what, to see moves of this continue to happen, and especially in the chaos of the world that we're living in today with all the events and everything that's taking place, people are looking more and more towards the church to help. But then even in the church world, you're seeing some of these places fall, these great mighty men.
Yep.
And so it's like, okay, Lord, I don't want to get to a spot where I grow so comfortable. So how do I keep this oil pure? And even before that, I didn't know that it was keep the oil pure. That was something that I heard from the Lord. Like you need to keep the oil pure. And it's like, okay, what's the oil then? Like, what are you telling me to keep pure?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I think for us, we think that just being a Christian and going to church on a Sunday is enough. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to a deeper place of discipleship and a deeper place of intimacy with him.
Yeah.
So my question for you today is, what does that look like? You hear keep the oil pure with everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. The Lord is calling us to a deeper place of intimacy. How do you navigate? What's the oil? How do you keep the oil pure?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a loaded question, honestly.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you look at scripture and oil is representative of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I know we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. And the Holy Spirit's living inside of us.
Yeah.
But I really believe that we can grow into a greater awareness, and the Holy Spirit can have more influence in our life. And I think the oil, when I think about the Holy Spirit and I read the scriptures, if what I read in here is not happening through my life, then I have to ask myself, is the oil that was mentioned in here is the same oil that's in here? And why am I not seeing people healed like this? Why am I not seeing breakthrough like this?
Right.
And so I think there's an awareness of the Holy Spirit, but to get there, you talk about what keeps the oil pure. If you think about just a bottle, I have a little bottle right here of anointing oil.
Yeah.
And I carry it with me. And somehow they had to create that. That means something had to be crushed for this oil to be produced.
Yeah, that's good.
And for me, what has to be crushed in my life for my oil to stay pure is my will and my desire. Because Rick has a will. Rick has a desire. And sometimes those wills and desires don't line up with God's purpose. Huh? And so I've got to, and this sounds so, I don't know how it's going to sound. I've got to stay crushed. You mentioned our anointing and our gift. I don't need the anointing to preach. The gift that God has given me is to communicate.
Yeah.
So I can you give me any material, I can communicate it. It may take me, give me 10 minutes to look it over and get to know a little bit, and I can communicate it. I don't care what the material is.
Right.
I don't even have to agree with it, but I can communicate because that's a gift. But what I need the anointing for is that I need the anointing because that represents his presence and power on the gift. And it's his anointing that makes the difference. Sometimes what happens when I don't stay crushed, I rely on the gift more than I do the oil. And there's probably been a lot of times in my life that I function in my gift. I didn't have the oil.
Right.
And, you know, you think about a car. What does oil do for a car? It keeps it running smoothly. If you run out of oil or your oil gets polluted or your oil gets, you know, it messes up the whole engine. And for me, and I think for all of us, when our oil doesn't stay pure, when we don't stay crushed, we don't stay in the presence of the Lord, we don't stay in his word, then it our life, I mean, we can become bitter and angry and whatever else you want to, whatever other words you want to use there, yeah. It can mess up our life. And pretty much we'll see our life get locked up. And we won't be able to function, not even in our gift anymore.
Yeah.
Because our life is so locked up.
Yeah. I think that's one of the scariest places you can be. A couple years ago, and I've probably talked about this on other episodes, I know for sure during some of my sermons, but I had a blow up in my life where I had to take some time away from ministry and to reevaluate some things. But it started off, the enemy plays the long game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think sometimes we think right whenever we have gotten away with something, most cases it's not that you've gotten away from something or that you've gotten away with it. It's the fact that the enemy's now planted the seed and he's going to wait and he's going to wait and he's going to wait and he's going to wait. And it started off for me, I mean, being a pastor's kid, honestly, every pastor's kid probably struggled with this at some point. But I thought because I knew all the scriptures, I knew all the Bible stories, I already know all of these things. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I'm perfectly fine. I know all the things. I'm good. Well, then coming into ministry in 2019 and you have that mindset of I'm good and I know I'm good. And that's where the downfall started. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen right there in the moment. It happened with this thought. Mm-hmm. And because of this thought, you stop having this fear of the Lord and you stop pursuing him and you start functioning out of gifting. Yeah. There's no anointing because you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Like, there's material as a preacher. There's material that you can be given and you've been gifted to communicate and you can pull that off like that.
Yeah.
And I remember in that moment, whenever my whole blow up happened and it finally came to a head, that I was so mad and I was so angry with the Lord. And what's crazy is in the world that we're living in today, we're seeing these exposings of the church or exposings of great men. And it would honestly be so easy for us to grow angry with the Lord or blame God. But the reality of it is God's not exposing and doing these things out of anger as much as he says, I'm doing it because I love you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more interested in your heart than I am your gifting, so much so that I will rip away your level of influence on this side of heaven so that I can spend eternity with you. And I think we so often we get frustrated with God. Does he really love me? And that right there is the evidence of his love. Now, how we perceive that depends on how much time we spend with him after the fact.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking these things to God, someone's counseling you and it's not the Lord.
Yeah, right.
And I think part of keeping the oil pure is like what you said. The oil is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read that book by Craig Rochelle, Lead Like It Matters?
I have not read that one. I've read a lot of his, but I haven't read that one.
Phenomenal book.
Okay.
And the whole time he's talking about, you know, lead like it matters. You need to lead like it matters. You ever walked into that place or into a church and you're like, man, this place has it. Like there's just something about it. And he never really refers to the Holy Spirit, but I think what he was alluding to the whole time is it's, you know that, you have it when you're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so I think where you are at in functioning out of gifting, how cool is it in the grace of the Lord to expose that to you, to say, not to make you feel bad.
Right.
That's love. Correction and love go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, how do you keep you've been preaching and you've been a pastor for so many years, doing ministry for so many years, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was, I don't remember exactly the pastor that said it, but he said that the moment the teacher stops being a student is the moment they become irrelevant.
Yeah.
So being in the position that you're in, you've done this for 20 plus years, and how do you keep yourself wanting to know more and more about God? Because I think it's being around God and learning more about him that you stay pure, but how do you keep your head in a place to not get prideful? And how do you always remain a student?
Yeah. I think there's got to be something inside of you that has a hunger and a thirst for truth. Hunger and thirst for his presence. You know, so many times we read the letters on a page.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We do our devotional every day. We'll sit, we'll open the Bible and we'll read the words. We may even memorize these letters. But I think sometimes we don't know the Lord of the letters.
Oh, that's,
We don't know the Lord who wrote the book. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's talking about the person of Jesus. So we've got to engage with Jesus. We've got to engage with the Holy Spirit. We've got to, but that only, for me, that only happens if I have a hunger. I've talked to numerous people, and I'm sure you have as well. They're at church every week or every other week. If we were to ask somebody, hey, where do you go to church? They would say TWC or Church on the Rock.
Right.
And you ask them, hey, when did you pray this week? No, I really didn't. Did you read the word? No, I don't enjoy reading the word, or I don't know how to read the word. But if there's not a desire in you to know the God of the Word and to be in his presence. And we live in West Texas, a very religious culture. I think a lot of people come Sunday to check the box.
Yep.
And there's no true spiritual depth because there's no desire. There's a desire to check a box. I went to church. I checked the religious box. But God is awakening his people. And I think, you know, you mentioned about some different, God is revealing some things today. Yeah. And some of those things is, I mean, they're hard when you hear of great men or people you look up to and the struggles they've had or how they've fallen or whatever it would be, whether it's burnout or whether it's, some kind of egregious sin, whatever it would be, God is exposing some things because God is wanting to purify his church. And I've got to stay before him so I can stay pure. I've got to pray the prayer of David. Lord, would you see if there's any wicked way in me?
That's good.
And it's so easy for me, Hunter, to, as a pastor, as a preacher, who's been doing this so long, to look at others and point out their sin and to point out their shortcomings. But the truth is, I've got them in my life too. I just don't want you to know about them.
Yeah.
But God knows about them.
Right.
So I've got to come before him with a hunger to know him, but also a hunger to say, okay, God, what's in me that's not right? Show me.
Yeah.
And I can't just be doing it just to sound good. I've got to say it and do it and mean it because I really want to change.
Yeah. You said something really powerful in that about we point out sin in other people's life. And I think, you know, you've grown comfortable and familiar when you become great judges of other people's sin,
mm-hmm.
and even better lawyers of your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So my question in that, for people, because we were talking about, you know, depth and intimacy, because I believe when you have true depth and intimacy with the Lord, then that's whenever truth is revealed. And truth is truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Truth is truth. Whether you like it or you don't like mm-hmm. it, truth is truth. So for those that, you know, there's some that have the lack of desire.
Yeah.
But what do you say to the ones who have fear of the unknown?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to go deeper,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, that's kind of scary. Like,
yeah,
you hear, because we'll go to church and you hear these great revivals and you're like, yeah, it's going to take a sacrifice, yeah, and all these things. Yeah. And us as pastors, we preach that
mm-hmm.
so easily and so normal because that's something we've been raised in and we've been grown up in. But there's some of those who may be new to the faith, or they're still trying to figure out, do I believe, do I not believe?
Yeah.
I feel like I might, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you go to church and you hear about purify the church and mm-hmm. fire and sacrifice, yeah, and all these churchy terms that,
yeah,
for the unchurched may be scary. So what do you say to the unchurched people who hear these church terms, that it's not necessarily lack of desire, it's mm-hmm. just the fear of the unknown?
Yeah. I think the thing I would say is this. One of the things that the scripture says is taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think if they can just get a taste, they'll just try it. The problem is this, is that so many times, whether we mean to do it or not, because I don't really think our hearts are to set ourselves up for to be admired. I know your dad, I know you, I know me. I don't ever want to set myself up to be admired or to be right. put on a pedestal.
Right.
But sometimes people look at us and they do, and it is a high calling to what we do. But sometimes people put us on a pedestal, and if we stumble or we fall. And I just want to tell these unchurched, get your eyes off of us. We're going to lead you, but at the same time, we're human. So don't look at us. Let us help you. Let us help lead you to Jesus. And if they can just taste and see that the Lord is good, if they can just get a little taste, but that means we, as the church, we have to give them something to taste. We've got to create an environment where they can taste.
Right.
I don't know if you are aware, or maybe you are, but maybe not. I was part of a church back in 97, 98, where we had an outbreak of revival that lasted 2 years. Services 5 nights a week for 2 years.
That's unheard of. That's crazy.
And it changed my life.
Yeah.
Changed my ministry. And I'll never forget, because I was a youth pastor at this church, and God was using our students at the school we were seeing healings and salvations at the school. But there were some students that were skeptics, and they would come to one of our services, and literally they would be sitting in the pew laughing at people, you know, worshiping. Maybe they were dancing or on their face, whatever their posture was. The students were laughing and making fun of them. But at the end of every service, we would offer prayer for everyone in the room that wanted it. So I remember we'd go to these students like, can we pray for you? And they'd be laughing. Yeah, sure. And when we'd pray for them, they got a taste. And the Spirit of God would touch them. And they had never sensed or experienced God in that way before. And they got a taste. And if we're not giving people an opportunity to taste, then maybe we're missing it.
Yeah. I think the thing that we have to be careful of a lot, okay. Wow.
Let me say this. I think we're afraid of losing control.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would say this. I could talk about this all day. So yeah, I know we're limited on time.
No.
But everybody goes to the scripture, let things be done decently and in order. But we're the one that puts the order together. We're the ones that determine what's decent. But you read in the book of Acts in the upper room, was that decent and in order? In God's economy, it was. You read through the book of Acts and you see how people would get healed before the preacher stopped preaching.
Yeah.
Is that decently and in order? And so I think sometimes we've put, I don't want to say we've Americanized it because I don't want to limit it to America, but we've put our structure around what we think decently and in order is, and God may have a different idea. I have a friend of mine who, his name's Scott Wilson.
Yeah.
Scott wrote a book with a guy named John Bates years ago called Clear the Stage. And Scott pastored a great church. And if you have not read this book as a pastor, I encourage you to go read this book. It's called Clear the Stage, Scott Wilson and John Bates. And Scott and John's churches are probably 30 minutes from each other, maybe not even that far. And they're good friends. And I remember reading in the book that John called Scott and said, I need to have breakfast with you. So I met for breakfast. And John really flows into prophetic. He's a friend of mine. He's awesome. But he asked Scott this question. He said, I was praying for you, and the Lord wanted me to ask you a question. He wanted to know if he could have his church back. Scott says, yeah, he can. I mean, yeah, it's whatever he wants. Just, yeah. And he's like, no. And Scott had this whole sermon series planned. And through that conversation, the Lord began to change Scott's heart and challenge him in some ways. And when that happened, this whole elaborate plan they had for this sermon series, it changed. And they just opened up and God began to move. And I was there shortly after that happened. And we were in the Dallas area for a conference, and I went to one of their youth services on a Wednesday night. This is just recent. This is just a few years ago. And in that youth service, the sanctuary was packed with students, and they were baptized. I don't know how many students they baptized on, and there was an outpouring. There was a revival that broke out, all because he said, here. He listened to the prophetic word that came to him. When we were in Kenya, one of the pastors, he was from America, one of the pastors that was teaching, he asked this question. He said, if Jesus was the pastor of your church for 1 month, what would the order of service look like? How would your services change?
You're stepping on some pastor's toes right
now. I don't mean to step on pastor's toes, but I'm asking, I mean, this is for me. I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
This is for me too.
Yeah.
So it's is there something in us that really desires God's manifest presence to show up? Because there's a difference in his omnipresence and his manifest presence. It's like I'm going to Walmart being his omnipresence because he's everywhere all the time. But I don't want to be in his omnipresence at church.
Right.
I want his manifest presence. I want him. I want the Lord to be able to express himself in my life, through my life. The only way that happens is when I give him room in my life.
You just unloaded a whole, because you're kind of reading my mail. I mean, one of the conversations I've been having with some of our staff members is how do we get out of the way being a spirit-filled multi-campus church? Mm-hmm. God's a God of order. So how do we come in alignment with his form of order,
yeah,
in order to execute the service in excellence?
Yeah.
You know, because there's other services we have to get to, but then sure, at the same time, it's like, but I don't want to stop the flow of the spirit and what's, yeah, happening right now, you, yeah, know? So what you're saying, this whole entire podcast, it, like, you've been reading, that's why, mm-hmm, I've just sat here, like, you've been reading my mail, because it's one of those things that I think a lot of people, what we're seeing in the world today, a lot of people want to take their messages to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. And here's the thing, like, I post some of the clips, right? I'm a big proponent of that. Who's to say that your message can't lead one person, sure, out there to Jesus, yeah, right? But at the same time, I also believe the Lord looks at the intent of your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're not careful, mm-hmm, we'll become better preachers than, yeah, we are pastors.
Yeah. 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 What's the purpose of this oil? I mean, this is just a bottle of oil.
Yeah.
For this oil to be of use, what has to happen?
Crushing.
You got to take the lid off.
Yeah.
It's got to get out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes in my life, we're good with the oil as long as it stays in the bottle. But God is, the oil of the Spirit's being poured out all over the world. I don't want him to pass Lubbock, Texas by. I don't want, whatever's got to change in me, I want to change. And I understand what you're saying. We do three services every Sunday, you know? So I get the whole, how does it, I don't know. I'm not saying that what we're doing is wrong.
Right. Right.
I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But I'm saying there's something in me that says, is this it?
Right.
And again, this is not a criticism of the church. I love the church. The church is the hope of the world. And this is not a criticism of any structure, anything. It's just, I think we just have to ask ourselves. This is where the deep dive goes for me. So if our services are however long, I don't care. If your services are 3 hours long, 2 hours, an hour, 30 minutes, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's like, can God move? Can you get out of the bottle? And here's the problem. Sometimes I can get to the place where I'd rather him get out of the bottle on a Sunday morning than get out of the bottle on a Tuesday morning when I'm in my office. If I'm not engaging with him and letting him open up the bottle of oil on my life on a Tuesday morning, then why should I expect it on a Sunday? And the Lord spoke a word to me a few weeks ago, and I preached it. I preached this word at Church on the Rock, and the thing the Lord gave me was this, that we've got to learn how to linger. And what we've done, we've confused waiting with lingering. And waiting is measured by the minutes. I can look at my watch. You tell me how long we need to wait, and I'm looking at my watch. I'm going to give you 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. But lingering is measured by moments. In the upper room, they didn't measure the minutes. They measured the moment. And I think for me personally, in my devotional time, my time with God, I'm looking for that moment. That moment may happen in 15 minutes, or it may happen in an hour and 15 minutes. But when I engage with God, I got to set my watch aside. And if I'm not willing to do that personally, then I should never ask for it corporately.
I don't, I'm over here in tears right now. So,
well, here's why you're in tears. Because there's something inside of you that desires more. There's a hunger and thirst inside of you that wants to see an outpouring of God's Spirit, not just at TWC, but in your own life. Because God can pour out His Spirit at TWC and you miss it. But there's something inside of you that's hungry and thirsty for more. And the only thing that will satisfy that is the presence of Jesus. There's a crushing happening in your life. So the Lord can, there's something inside of you that the Lord wants to bring out of you. But he's got to crush it in order to get it out.
I think that's the hardest part for even being someone who's been raised in the church. I think the hardest part is understanding, like, but why does it have to be a crushing, yeah, you know? And there's some things we won't understand until we mm-hmm. get to heaven. Like the season that I'm in right now, there's been moments where I've spent in our executive pastor's office, even my dad's office, our campus pastors even. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here and I'm getting vulnerable. Like, I feel inadequate for this role. I don't feel like I had a conversation the other day, like, hey, if I need to be moved to a different role, then let me get out of the way. I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the reason. And I feel like even in that, like, there's a crushing. And I'm trying to find out who Hunter Turnbow is again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right whenever I thought that I had it all figured out, and now I'm in a completely new season where I'm trying to learn the balance of my relationship with God, my soon-to-be marriage with Grace, mm-hmm. and then my actual role as being a pastor.
Yeah.
And I did a podcast on this one time, like when we started off, it was with a guy named Tyler Wooten. But I feel like right whenever I found my stride, God was like, okay, it's time to move on to the next. And
yeah,
it's like I'm trying to figure this all out again. Yeah. And in moments where some people don't understand, like, but for me, it's a crushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for me, like, I feel out of place. Like, I don't always understand. I don't really know how to do this. And where I think I'm supposed to be light years ahead and I'm still here. When I take 10 steps and for every mistake, I feel like I've taken 20 steps back, you know? And so I think that's why this is, because I just want to be a good steward of what God is doing right now. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes I don't want to be the reason that hinders the mm-hmm. move of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this 35 years. Can I tell you, I'm in the same place. I don't want anything in me to hinder the move of God. And I think what we have to always come back to, our titles can change, right? How many titles have you had since you've come on staff at TWC?
Multiple.
Right. Me too at Church on the Rock, okay? Started off with this college pastor, and then I think I had two title changes in 1 week at one point. You know, it's kind of, but that's fine. But so many times we get caught up in the title. And you talked about about to wear the title of husband. You're about to wear this new role you're in, all the things. But before all those titles, we always got to come back to this. We are sons. That's the most important. They can take my church title. I mean, literally, I'm not after titles. Titles are what man sees in you. You know? I just want the son is great with me. Because if I hear him say, this my son, let's go.
Yeah. Have you ever, in all your years, like for me, like my new role, executive campus pastor, whatever that means, right? And it's a difference because it's going from being doing young adults preaching every Thursday, you're going from the front of the house. Mm-hmm. Now you're more behind the scenes, mm-hmm. right? So I think for the longest time, it was like I knew I was doing good whenever you could tangibly see this move of God,
mm-hmm.
that you got to partner with the Lord. But mm-hmm. now being on this side of it, it's like the Lord's trying to teach me this is a new way that you're going to see a move.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes what I confuse, and I've had to go back to the Lord and repent for this multiple times, is how I felt about the way that I did in a service. I think that's where I confuse performance and presence
mm-hmm.
sometimes, just honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was really, really good, that means, hey, me and God are good.
Yeah.
And there's been, and I think that's a constant of people just have to go back and repent of.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm sorry for allowing my mind to get here or why. And isn't it like the joy of the Father?
Yeah.
Like to be able to sit down and have that conversation with you. And I think shame is what steals more from you than the enemy ever will.
Yeah.
And shame robs you of conversations with mm-hmm. your dad.
Mm-hmm.
It robs you from freeing conversations of like, I don't care about the gifting or the title. I'm just glad you're here. Yeah. And I think that's where I'm at right
now. I think there's always something inside of us that wants the approval of man.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's a natural thing. Maybe we have in some insecurities, all the things, you know, but I remember this has been years ago, but I still deal with this at times. Years ago, I was going to preach at this church and the pastor of that church, all he had talked about was how these young ministers don't know how to give an altar call. And he was kind of complaining about, and I was young at the time. I was probably in my early 30s and maybe in my 20s. And so he was complaining about pastors, young leaders didn't know how to give an altar call, the things. And so man, that I went to church that day determined to give a great altar call. And I went in, man, and I did it, gave a great altar call. We got in the car to leave, and Tori looks at me, my wife, and she says, are you proud of yourself? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, because you preached today to impress him, to impress that pastor, not to impress God. So your wife will call things out on you that she sees because she knows the real you. But in that moment, it was like God used her voice, the Spirit used her voice to crush something in me, not to crush my gift, not to crush that, but to crush this thing of trying to please man. And there are still times, like, I wonder what Pastor Heath thought about this, or Pastor Jackie thought, I wonder what Pastor Todd thought.
Yep.
You know, were they okay with it? Hey, how did I do? You know, all these things. And there's still something in me. And sometimes I ask man that first before I ask God, were you pleased?
Yeah, I get that.
You know, that's where we've got to come back. And we've got to be willing to sit in his presence, sit with him, and let him speak to us. And let us hear his voice of, yeah, he's pleased. Or, hey, there's a little flesh.
Right.
Because he loves us enough to correct us. We used to have that earlier. And correction is protection.
That's good.
And so we've got to have it. So.
I think that's, you know, the one thing that brings me great joy and great courage and great confidence, knowing that even in the moments where we feel off or we have moments like that, that God knows our heart better than mm-hmm. we know our heart.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those that he knows, I know his heart. That's not who he is.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
And that's one of those where, if you sit long enough in the presence of God, you might actually just get to hear him say, hey, I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
I love you. You're
exactly
good.
Right.
But I think a lot of times, we talked about this on a previous episode, we want God to do things on our time
mm-hmm.
rather than doing things on his time.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is, even in moments like this, it's by the grace of God. Part of keeping the oil pure is trusting that God knows what you can handle and what you can carry in the season versus what you can't, what your integrity, what your character, what is too much weight that may cause your character to get out of alignment. Because mm-hmm. here's when you get stressed and you get tired, it's easy for, and we're all one step away from being someone we thought we'd never be.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that in itself of keeping a constant flow of the presence of God in your life and how much you spend time with Him, mm-hmm. that is how you keep the oil pure.
Yeah.
When you spend more time with Him than you do on a platform speaking with others. Mm-hmm. When you're Monday through Saturday, that same presence and that same move that you're wanting to see on Sunday is the right. same move that you're seeing in your yeah. own life during yeah. the week. I think Preston Morrison challenged me on this. We sat down, we had coffee, and he's known as one of those guys that, dude, how do you have such an intimate relationship yeah. with the Lord? Yeah, yeah. So I asked him that, and he's like, well, what does your rhythm throughout the week look like? And mm-hmm. I said, well, we work Monday through Thursday. Friday is a Sabbath. And he goes, well, what does your Sabbath look like? And I said, well, I sometimes feel like it feels a little bit routine. It doesn't always feel like it's just a spontaneous thing. I said, but I'll pull my Bible out and I'll read. He goes, why? And I'm sitting there and I look at him. I'm like, what do you mean? Why? Like, that's the word of God. You're a pastor. Yeah. You know this.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, but if you read your word every day for work, why would you do work on your Sabbath whenever God is a God of multiple things and he's unlimited in the ways that mm-hmm. he can spend time with you? Why have you limited him mm-hmm. to one way? Mm-hmm. And it caused me to rethink everything. And I'm like, you know what? Have I limited how God can speak to me? Yeah. And hear me out, because someone's going to take this and yep, say, don't right. read your word. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is, when was the last time that you asked God, hey, what's a new way that I can explore a relationship with mm-hmm. you today? Mm-hmm. And the best way I can say this, and religious people are going to get upset with me on this, the best way I can say it, like, you don't take Tori on the same date all the time. Right. Like, date night might be different. You might go to the movies here. You're going to dinner here. You're going to go get right. coffee, or you're going to go get a Coke and drive around Lubbock.
Yeah.
Why not treat God the same way mm-hmm. rather than limiting him to just one way, yeah. one time, every single week yeah. at the same time? What would it look like to have spontaneous moments with him mm-hmm. to open up the bottle, to allow him to flow at work, mm-hmm. to allow him to flow in the car, mm-hmm. to allow him to flow in the morning while you're in yeah. the shower, like those little moments in yeah. the day. And I think what we've done is the reason that I think the bottle is a representation of religion encasing what God is really wanting to do. Mm-hmm. And when you can crush religion and you mm-hmm. just allow God to be God.
Yeah.
When I say religion, it's like how we think God should be.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
what we've limited him right. to do.
Yeah.
I think that that's where you get to truly experience the oil in this move yeah. that we're seeing, because our world is very hurt. Mm-hmm. Our country is very hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need Jesus more than we've ever yeah. needed yeah. him, you know? Yeah. So Pastor Rick, I'm speechless because you blew my mind. Mm-hmm. You still, it has been my greatest honor just to be able to sit with you and be able to listen. Like, times whenever you just reach out and, hey, let's go to lunch. You know, those moments mean more to me than what you'll ever know. And you've challenged me, and I think everyone that's in this room and people who are going to listen to this to think a little bit differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of people are prone to want to hear things that make them feel good rather yeah. than having the thought-provoking conversation. Yeah. But I want you to know, for me, it has been my greatest joy and greatest honor just to be able to sit with you and have conversation. Mm-hmm. In my book, you're a giant. And throughout all of my life, I think things are hitting me a little different now because I'm about to get married. And
yeah.
I'm like my dad. I get emotional about life-changing things, right? But I want you to know that little seeds that you've planted from the times of kids camp to little lunches to when I started in ministry to our very first podcast to this podcast to every season of life, you've played a role in my life. And those seeds don't go unheard or unseen. And I really appreciate just the honor of being able to sit with you today and listen and have some thought-provoking conversation.
Man, it's an honor. I count you as a friend. And I think your dad would agree with me on this, is that we want you to go far beyond anything we've done. Man, if you only hit the you only hit where we've been, then you haven't, you've missed it. Okay. Our, you know, they say that, that, our ceiling is your floor. Is that how they say it? I think something like that, like where we are, that's where you start, and you're, and God's going to use you in great ways. And this is going to sound really strange, but I'm going to circle all the way back to kids camp, because there's been a song that I've been singing all day today. I knew I was coming to do this podcast, and this morning I got up and I was praying, and this song, I just started singing this song. And I'm not a singer, so I don't sing it with people around. I'm not going to sing it now, but I'm going to give you the words. And it's a kid's song. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. And I don't know the rest of the words, but I do know that part of it. And my prayer for you, my prayer for these guys in the room and everybody watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, that would be our prayer. Give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. And let the oil of the Spirit not stay in the bottle, but let it be poured out in us and through us, because our world needs Jesus. Let's give him a taste of what he's all about. Come on.
Pastor Rick, thank you so much. I really appreciate having you on today.
Yeah.
Corner Talk family, if you guys wouldn't mind, go ahead, like, share, subscribe. We love you guys so much. Until next time, we'll see you guys then.
Hey everyone, Hunter Turnbow here, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us for Corner Talk Podcast. I hope that it encouraged you and empowered you. Make sure that you guys share this with someone, because hopefully it can encourage them and empower them as well. But till next time, we love you guys so much.